This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Well, it seems like a very busy time in the world of Aviva Health, and CEO Casey Bolton joining us. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Oh, thanks, Kyle.
So talk about, first of all, there's so many things going on. You recently had, back on the 19th, a virtual groundbreaking for the new building project. Talk about what this building will mean for Aviva.
Right. So it's kind of a game changer for us in terms of our space. It more than doubles our family medicine space at our Roseburg campus. And it's necessary, really, to house the family medicine residency, which will have 24 young doctors and faculty working their training to be rural family medicine docs.
And talk about the timeline and what's been involved to this point with the project.
Right. I got to tell you, I have no background in building buildings. As you know, my background's military. So, yeah, it's been a learning process for me. I've got some great folks on the team. So we started really 2 years ago trying to envision what the clinic might need to be to support the residency program, and did a couple of series of drawings and whatnot, and decided to do something on the Jerry Bruce campus and adjacent to our existing clinic there. And, you know, a lot of this is really understanding the capability you need, and then, you know, what can you actually afford reasonably. And we went through that process. An interesting program that we were connected to is a new market tax credit program that actually lets businesses invest in nonprofits in rural settings, and we qualified and were eligible. And so about 1/8 of the whole project cost is going to be covered by that new market tax credit, basically investing, these businesses investing in our organization. Kind of cool.
And where do things stand right now in terms of fundraising?
So we started our local initiative, our local campaign, quietly, like we said in the opening ceremony video, but really just wanted to not be a big clarion about it, but to make sure the public knew. We set a goal of $300,000, which we thought was reasonable, it was a stretch goal a little bit because of the pandemic. And I'm happy to say we're already 2/3 of the way there through staff, board members, and a private citizen helping us out. So we basically have another $100,000 to go, and we'll meet our goal of the $300,000.
And a big building, a lot of opportunity there, and it's a chance to really deal with this residency program. Talk more about this, because it seems like one of the things we've heard about for years around Douglas County from all sectors of healthcare is that there's been a shortage of physicians, and sometimes trying to get people to Douglas County has been a bit of a struggle.
Right. It's hard to recruit for clinicians, and I think that's a challenge we all have in the community here. And so a big part of this initiative was thinking, if we launch this, can we recruit and land some of these doctors when they finish their program? And we think that there's a good chance, based on them living here for 3 years, sometimes folks move to the area and then they realize it kind of wasn't what they thought it was going to be for them or their family members, and so they come and they leave after an initial contract period, if you will. And we think that these young doctors will be more inclined to stay in the area, or maybe Medford or Grants Pass or farther north of Eugene, because they already know the community and they kind of went through, so it's kind of a test run for them. So we think we'll land several of them for the community at large.
Now, during the time that they're here in the residency program, what kinds of things are they learning? What kinds of things are they doing?
So each year, it's a three-year program. The first year weighs towards didactic, so the kind of the classroom sort of modality with the preceptor there as they do their rotations. They have rotations here at Aviva in terms of clinical rotations, but also out in the community. They're rotating through the ER at Mercy, and they're doing an inpatient rotation, OB, urgent care, different places in the community to get a flavor for what a family medicine doc in rural or frontier America might be exposed to. If you're out on your own in a really small community, you know, you may be kind of it for a wider spectrum of care than what you might see as a family medicine doc in Portland or something. So we try to expose them to that. The program is accredited through American Council of Graduate Medical Education, ACGME. So it has academic rigor. That first year has some clinic time and then rotations. The second year, there's a few more electives layered on, but more clinic time. And that third year, they're able to actually see patients with very little precepting in the exam room with them. They're basically seeing their panel of patients.
Now, is it all people that are going to be family medicine doctors, or do you have people going into any specialties?
Not. It's family medicine docs that have certification, so not quite a specialty, but lifestyle medicine is one of the program initiatives, so you would be boarded in that as well as family medicine. And they're looking at also addiction medicine is another initiative they're looking at.
Now, your first class of residents is wrapping up year one of the three-year residency. How has that gone so far?
It's went really well. You know, each one of those eight individuals on their own have helped develop the program and made it what it is. You know, it's new, and so everything's being figured out. Sometimes, you know, on the fly, if you will, because, you know, unexpected sort of changes. But you know, those young professionals are dedicated to making the program work as much as the faculty are. And so it's really a labor of love between both the residents themselves and the faculty.
Now, how soon are some more coming in?
Well, the next class will show up in 2 weeks. The 14th of June is their first official day here in the community where they're getting onboarded and their ID badges and all that, predominantly through Mercy and Aviva. And so another eight, and then the first year has become second year folks and kind of groom and mentor their colleagues coming in.
For the ones that are coming in, are these kind of funneled in from a particular university, or are these folks coming in from a wide area of the country or beyond?
It's really all over the place. It's really an eclectic class of young professionals who have, you know, went the gauntlet, if you will, academically and got to this point. I mean, it's very rigorous. You know, the reason why there's such a so hard to get into medical school is just the academic piece is, you know, it's pretty intensive. And so to get to this point, you know, they've all been well trained and educated. And then we've tried to, the program itself has looked at taking a different approach and not, because we're a newer program partially, but mainly because we want to have diversity in our program and not just take a traditional path sort of medical doctor or DO. So it's all over the place.
Now, let's go back to the fundraising aspect for a moment for the clinic and all of this. You've also got, I understand, a couple sort of unique relationships going on to help support this project as well.
Right. So if you're talking about a couple of our microbreweries here in the area have stepped up and they've created a couple special beers that if you purchase one of those beers in their establishment or at to go or whatnot, part of the proceeds go to our building project. So Too Shy has a brown, a darker beer. It's called the Building Brown. And Old 99 has a pale ale called Never Ale India Pale Ale. And you know, if you like the pale ale, it's a good pale ale. It's hoppy like you would expect. And the building brown, if you're into browns, it's great. I'm not actually into brown beer, you know, like a darker beer, but super smooth. So I've tried to do my part to help raise money for the building just by purchasing from those folks.
All right, always helping the cause. Casey Bolton back with us in just a moment. A two-minute break, and we're back with more on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Aviva Health CEO Casey Bolton with us this afternoon. I want to talk about some other things going on with Aviva. You've got a couple of mobile medical units to get the COVID-19 vaccine outreach out to the outlying areas. How's that effort been going?
You know, the mobile clinics are, first of all, they're a great resource that were gifted to us from the county commissioners, and we put them into use, maybe not in the traditional sense of like a mobile clinic, but we've used them as a vaccine control cell as we've went to different areas and done some of these outlying area vaccine clinics. And that's super helpful just to have a way to make sure the vaccine's stored correctly and counted and all that without, you know, maybe the public walking up and whatnot. So that's worked pretty well. But we have plans as things return to a closer to a new normal to really leverage those platforms in a true mobile way. We're in talks with various agencies on how we might partner, whether it be UCAN's mobile food bank, that rotates around the county. You know, we just want to be a resource and take the medicine where it makes sense to the patients that are maybe isolated geographically.
And it does seem like for people in those very rural areas that access sometimes to a lot of things is an issue, it would seem to make a lot of sense to sort of pair different services together where you may be having some of the same folks that need assistance or need a service from your agency and from other people too.
Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, both kind of each agency that's there working together, there's a synergy in terms of, like you said, one-stop shopping, if you will, for those folks. And one of the things that's pretty important is establishing a routine and really sticking to it so that the community knows, you know, every second Monday, if you will, you'll have this resource there. The adoption rate, research suggests, is pretty high for mobile clinics.
Now, as well, along with the mobile clinic, you recently have opened up a dedicated COVID-19 vaccine clinic space. Talk about that.
Some space opened up next to our, basically in between our administrative annex and the main Roseburg Clinic. It's the old credit union in the Costco parking lot. And we were keen on that space for a variety of reasons, but it makes a great way to have a walk-in vaccine clinic. It's been super successful. I gotta tell you, the numbers are higher than I was expecting in terms of the walk-ins and whatnot. We're averaging about 50 patients a day showing up. We're able to deliver all three vaccine types that are approved in the United States. So I think it's been a huge success, although it's not very flashy. You know, the public knows that it's an asset to, you know, call ahead if you can, but if not, they show up Monday through Friday, and again, about 50 a day have been showing up, so it's great.
So did that kind of free things up for your regular facility to sort of maintain business as usual?
Totally. It was necessary, actually. The construction project is putting a kind of a cramp on any sort of meeting space, and we were using one of our largest conference room in the old building. The new building will have much larger space, but we were using that for the recovery area after someone gets vaccinated so that we can monitor them in case they needed medical attention. And that's freed up, which has helped tremendously in terms of some of our normal operational flow, and then our staff uses that area during lunch as their break area. So that's been nice to go get that back to them.
And down the road, when maybe the vaccination isn't so much of an issue, what do you plan to do with this new space?
We are exploring establishing a 340B pharmacy, so an outpatient pharmacy that would cater specifically to the underserved that are eligible for the 340B pricing through the pharmacy industry. There's a lot of business in the community actually that goes to a 340B pharmacy. That one of the examples is Hometown Drugs is one of our vendors for that, Sutherland Pharmacy. And so we thought, well, why not have it more convenient for our patients? To include, since it's a credit union, we could leverage the drive-through capability of that and make it just like, you know, a quote-unquote normal sort of pharmacy. That's the intent behind that, to include, you know, walk-up vaccination like we're doing now. So it'd be, you know, one stop for that.
Now, as part of the vaccination efforts, Aviva, partnering with various folks, really jumped into the mass vaccinations and other vaccination opportunities pretty quickly.
We did. We're a small organization, but not so small that we can't handle some of those larger missions. We're pretty agile, though. We have an exceptional team of planners and operators and people who have passion for the community. And so we kind of approached Dr. Danhofer and Commissioner Freeman and said, look, we think we can do this. The first one we did, we kind of overstaffed, and we got much more efficient. And the last one we ended up doing with the ESD, I'm trying to remember the date, but sometime in February, there at the fairgrounds, frankly, we use a third of the staff and only did the same amount of folks in about 6 hours. So it went really well. You get really proficient at that. But there, in terms of like really getting the vaccine out to the community, those mass events end up being kind of a choke point. So you want to get it in the hands of the primary care provider. I know all of the organizations in town have been really banging out at their clinics. Evergreen's been vaccinating a lot of folks, to try South River. So it's taking all of us really to try to get ahead of this wave.
And you've also not only had the clinic at the fairgrounds, you've gone out to some of the places like Myrtle Creek and Drain and Glide and Sutherland.
We have. We partnered, I believe in Myrtle Creek it was a VFW hall, and I know in Glide we use a community center. And you know, those events are really well received. Like you mentioned, some folks just can't get all the way to Roseburg. It is very problematic. And so having something where you're running into town at Myrtle Creek or Drain or Glide, and the clinic's right there ready to go to take you, that makes the difference for some folks to get vaccinated or not. And so we're happy to do that. That's part of our mission.
About a minute left or so on Inside Douglas County. Casey Bolton of Aviva Health. What kind of other things are you looking at towards the future?
Well, we're always looking at ways to partner with community-based organizations to really close those gaps in the safety net for the community, whether that be healthcare or housing or food insecurity. We just feel like we need to be a part of a coalition of agencies that really focus on the community. So we just had a meeting earlier today with several of the agencies talking about how we could work collaboratively to improve vaccine awareness and really try to keep pushing, encouraging folks and helping them sign up to get their vaccine, and that's outside of the normal sort of healthcare domain, including the YMCA, their new executive director. I invited him to the meeting. the new president at Umpqua Community College. She was invited. They all showed up, and they're super excited to get after it.
And finally, for people who might want to find out more about this big capital campaign or the big project, where can you send them web-wise to take a look and see how they can help?
Yeah, they can go right to our main page. There's a link there on the front page. It's aviva.health is the website.
All right, Casey Bolton from Aviva Health, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thanks, Kyle. Good to be here.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.